Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Wizards and Mavs fans, this is a little change of pace for everybody. I've got Alex Tassopoulos of the Believe in Mavs podcast joining me. Alex, how's it going?
Good, good. I just realized my name actually says Joe DeLeon, which is a little confusing, but I'm doing well. I'm in as good of spirits as I can be after a very, very peculiar loss at home against the Wizards. I'm interested to see what the official 2-minute report looks like in a couple of days here, because I didn't really necessarily think that was a blocking foul on Luka at the end. A little ticky, whether it is or it isn't, sure. It's a little ticky tack to call that at the end of a game. Kuzma gets one at the line after Luka, under a minute, had missed a free throw. Classic. He does that too often. And then we get the what was definitely a kickball, and it wasn't called as well. So I think I'm interested to see what those calls turn into. But a great win for the Wizards, I would say. And obviously, there is a lot of now shared player and personnel history between these two teams.
There's a lot to talk about here. Like, I'm glad we're doing this because this is like the team that there's maybe other than the Lakers for the Wizards, like this is the team with the most like overlap and relevance. So perfect timing.
Unfortunately for us, it's y'all and it's also the Knicks. And I'd like that to change, but here we are.
Sounds about right. Okay. So this is always like fascinating to me, like how fans of different teams take these things perspective wise. So watching that, I was like, all right, Luka bumped him. Usually the superstar is not on the wrong end of that call at the game. Did Kuzma step out of bounds also? Like, okay. But I saw that as like the, hey, nobody's going to overturn this because it was what we called on the floor and it's close enough that we're justified. The kickball one, I was like sitting there like, DeLon Wright definitely got a foot on this ball, right? Like, I don't know how that didn't get
it. It felt like an intentional, like savvy lunge of the foot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like anything below the knee there, like it just seemed like nobody mentioned it on the broadcast, at least on the Wizards broadcast, which maybe I don't know why they would. I don't know if on the Mavs broadcast they talked about it, but
who are y'all's guys? Your Wizards guys?
Chris Miller, who used to be the sideline reporter and is a very nice man, but is new to play-by-play overall. And then obviously Wizards legend, Drew Gooden, who the first time he was traded here, refused to play here. So, there's a lot of like really great shared history with the pair so far. They're not great, but they're nice guys. So I think that counts for something.
Your fandom it makes me laugh always. Just
we're dark, man. We don't have a generational talent to look forward to.
Right. The comedian comp would be Anthony Jeselnik, I think. Yes. And you just have to kind of understand it, right?
Yeah.
You just got to get what you're doing. Yeah.
It's definitely twisted and during the game, like I feel like everyone was tweeting like, oh yeah, Kuzma definitely did not get fouled there. Or yeah, he definitely like stepped out. I feel like we almost like root against our own team in real time. So I think some of us definitely agreed with the Mavs fan perspective there.
What do you think about that guy though? Kuzma has a 30 piece. He's played really, really well. I think from what I've watched of the Wizards, and obviously I watch every Mavs game. I try and watch, you know, the biggest game of the night when I can, which unfortunately hasn't necessarily been a ton of Wizards games this year. But in the games that I have watched, honestly, like I have a hard time saying that he's not your best player. between him, Beal, and KP, and that can change on any given night. But his versatility defensively, which you saw on display in this game when he was guarding Luka, and then just I know the 3-point shot wasn't falling, and he certainly attempted a few, but he hit those big ones in the fourth quarter. I mean, he's developed into a really fine player.
It's I wrestle with this, right? Like, you could make a case for any of the three. I think Porzingis has probably been the most consistently solid of the three, right? Like, consistently the best. I think when Kuzma's been really good, like, he's the one that's had like a few supernova games where he just like wins you a game you probably shouldn't win. I don't think Beal's played enough games that you could even consider that. When you miss half the team's games, like, how can you be the best player? So,
but even in that like toss up between the three of them, the fact that one of them is getting paid so much more than the rest of them, I mean, that Supermax is, that's daunting. I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what you do with him. I mean, I'm sure like he's great, right? Like, he's given so much to this franchise. Like, I know that there's, you know, an undying respect for him, but also like this weird feeling I imagine of Wizards fans that he's a bit of like a thorn in the foot too.
Yeah. Like, it's, I think it's pretty split, maybe tilting more away from him at this point, just given the contract and the injuries and stuff like that. But he's really good, and we haven't had a lot of really good players, so it's kind of hard to give up on that. But also, it's like, you can't really win if he's your best guy, and if you pay him $50 million, like, you're not getting anyone better than that unless you get magically lucky with the draft, which we're not good enough to ever do either.
Yeah, you said you can't really win. I'm going to make it definitive. You cannot.
You cannot win. Right. If we somehow like luck into Wembanyama and he's good from day one, that's like what it would take for this to be like a second round playoff team. Like, that's like literally the path forward for us at this point.
Right. That would be this upcoming draft. What about Mr. Taco Bell last draft? Where's he been? What's going on with him? I mean, like, are his rookie stats? I want to pull up Jaden Hardy's stats, because I feel like Hardy's probably averaging better than him, right?
Hardy could probably win like G League MVP at this point. And Johnny Davis has now regressed to not very good in the G League. So he's under 10 points per game in the G League. He's about 1 point per game when he plays for the Wizards. It's bad.
That's such a shame. Like, I liked him in college. I at least like appreciated how much of a competitor he was. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's just, I guess it's not translating, but it's so young in his NBA career. It's more so like, it's comparing it to what you could have had, right? That's the thing. I know you're a big Marjon Beauchamp guy.
Well, that's like what our fan base is best at, because like, we're really good at kind of missing the boat barely on people. Like, I don't know, former Wizards head coach Flip Saunders really wanted Klay Thompson, and they're like, nah, we're good. We'll take Jan Vesely. So like, that's sort of like how we approach everything. That's the Kawhi Leonard draft. You know, we traded out of the Steph Curry draft. Like, this is just sort of how it works. So if like Jalen Williams or somebody pops as a superstar, that's like all you'll hear about from Wizards fans for forever. The fact that apparently like Tyrese Haliburton was next on their board until Denny fell to them. Like, we'll never probably be able to move on from that as a fan base, it seems like.
Yeah. Denny, who had a good game.
He was good. Okay, so I would love you to weigh in on what you thought of Denny last night.
I thought, like, the playmaking aspect, what he can do, at least from a vision standpoint, when he gets to the high post area, to hit those guys on the wing, the shooters that are ready to go, and somehow, I guess, DeLon has turned into a guy that can hit a three now.
Not bad, right?
Well, when he was on the mats, he certainly could not do that. His brother was always a good shooter. I always liked Durrell a lot.
Yeah.
I thought Denny, he rebounded really, really well. In a game where you needed other guys to step up when you don't have KP out there, and clearly he was being missed, because when Dwight Powell scores 20 plus points, that's rough. That the other team is suffering. I mean, Gafford got dunked on by Tim Hardaway. Like, what? Like, that was not pleasant to see. I can imagine for a lot of Wizards fans, but.
Gafford's just not good without Porzingis. And then when you're backing him up with Taj Gibson's corpse and Anthony Gill, like, it's just, you only have so much you can do there. So
Gafford's one of those guys where it's like, he's a great weak side shot blocker, right? Mm-hmm. But that's like, you don't want to put him in front of anyone, because they're going to get past him every single time. I don't know. I really like Denny. I mean, you're talking about like pieces to, that's why I bring up Kuzma, and I, you know, I'm sure, like, I lament with you that you have to deal with this Beal situation, but KP, Kuzma, KP, if he stays healthy, of course, that's the big asterisk always, but Beard KP seems to be doing pretty well. So I don't know.
There's something Beard to it.
Beard suits him. But him and Kuz and Denny, like, I like those three guys.
There's some pieces.
Yeah, they're pieces. Like, you're not talking 1, 2, 3. You're not talking 2, 3, 4 there, but they're pieces for this team. I thought that, and I know, like, there were other things involved. Rui, to me, at least from a talent standpoint, felt like a piece as well. Mm-hmm. And you went and traded him off for Kendrick Nunn, who, even when he was microwaving in Miami Heat land, which, guess what? So did Josh Richardson. We know how that turned out when he got to the Mavs. Like, I've never really bought into, oh, that we've got Nunn and Hero on the Heat. I was like, no, Tyler Hero is a good basketball player.
Yeah,
Kendrick Nunn is, I don't know. Like, that guy's, you know, he's an 8 through 12 on a team, on a non-contending team. So I'm not really sure where that trade came from, but I can imagine there's so much more going on, like, in the locker room and his willingness to play. But from what I saw from, what was it, the World Championships that Rui played for?
Like, FIBA Eurocup.
FIBA, yeah. He really, like, he showed me some stuff in that tournament where I was like, oh, this is a guy that he can play with some of the other big boys. When he's lined up against, like, Luka or Giannis or whoever, he's obviously not as good as them, but he's a competitor and he'll go after them.
He's tough as shit. He rebounds really hard. He's good defensively. Like you said, if he can get downhill and somebody's not, like, up in him, he can actually create and play make a little bit. He has to, like, hit shots at a high enough rate for people to, like, not sag off him completely. And he's been a little better overall lately. I think I haven't checked his, you know, 3-point percentage from a small sample size here, but he's...
I saw you, you tweeted, like, his splits when he played over 20 minutes and, like, he was pretty productive.
That was Rui's. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I meant
Rui. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No,
you're talking about Denny now?
Yeah. I meant Denny here. Sorry. Just pivoting back to Denny for a second. Like, so Denny, to me, there's some cool things. The Rui one, it's like, okay, he wanted a bigger role. That's what they kind of reported. Our general manager, Tommy Shepard, was on the broadcast last night saying, like, you know, Rui wanted more volume than we give him. That's the stat that you mentioned that I tweeted out, that, you know, when he's above 25-ish minutes, like, you know, the percentages go up. So maybe he's a rhythm guy. Like, that happens. But they also said on the broadcast that they basically traded Rui to open up minutes for Denny. And open up responsibility for Denny, which I don't buy at all, by the way. Like, I think Denny or Rui kind of forced their hand and was like, well, you try to trade me, like, fuck off. Like, I'm going to check out otherwise. I mean,
it's interesting because, like, you've got, if Rui was still on the team, you'd have Rui, you'd have Denny, you'd have Kuz, who they're all similar size, right? I would say.
All best as a four, ideally.
Yeah, but they can all dribble a bit. Kuzma more than others. I mean, most impressive thing that I saw last night was his. I mean, he can score at all three levels. Mm-hmm. The floater is really nice. I mean, what he can do off the dribble, not necessarily, like, creating for others, which I think, like, Denny has maybe a bit more of a knack of.
Sure.
You know, I never really saw that with Rui. Rui always reminded me more of what Kuz does, but a little broader, a little more bruiser, you know,
so,
in the paint.
So Kuzma's been probably, like, our best, I would say, at least secondary creator this season. Maybe doesn't show up in, like, the assist numbers, but he's, like, one of the few guys that, like, teams have to respect, and he'll try to get downhill. And this has been sort of an inconsistent addition to Denny's game. Like, he did it great last night. I think some of it was, like, putting Bertans or even Dinwiddie on him for stretches, and even Luka on him, like, guys that aren't going to, like, lock him down too much. So it freed
Spencer,
him up a bit.
I should mention, and I hope that, like, some Wizards fans get some pleasure out of this. I think he's the worst shot contest defender in the NBA.
Yeah.
He closes out way too hard on guys and then just gets blown by. Like, that's his signature. And, like, I don't know. Like, I can't say anything to him, obviously. But if I could, I would, because he's 6'6 and he's got quick feet. So he should be able to stay in front of guys. But he just goes 110% on the contest and just flies past guys.
He sells out on everything. And those two threes in the corner in the fourth quarter that Kuzma hit, where literally just, like, Dinwiddie went, like, flying into the third row past him on, like, there's literally no reason to do it. And that's what he did here. And it's just like, oh, okay, bro, cool. Like, why are you doing that again? I don't know. I think part of that for Denny was, like, he got freed up by, like, some subpar defenders, and he doesn't do that every night, but our fan base, some portion of it that's sort of like the Denny half of the fan base, took last night's game as like, see, we freed up Denny. And that's what Tommy Shepard said he was trying to do. I'm just saying, like, Denny's had really good games before. Like, he was good against one of the two games against Milwaukee for us a couple weeks ago. He was good in one of the Knicks games fairly recently. So it's like, he can do this. Like, last night, he got fouled a couple times. He got bailed out a couple times too. And I like seeing him be aggressive. So I hope it's the case. I hope he's more of the player we saw last night. I just want everybody to like pump the brakes just like a tiny bit. Let's see him do it for a week, 2 weeks. And then we can say like, okay, maybe trading Rui was addition by subtraction.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he got to the line 11 times, which like that's not an accident. Yeah, you know, exactly. You have to be, putting some pressure on the defender in front of you.
Definitely,
and beating guys with cleverness. And he's definitely got that, but it's just, what can he be? And for where you drafted him, how good should he be? Right. Like, and that's, I think, probably where the disconnect is for some people.
I think so. Like, he's a really good piece. Like, he's a good sixth, seventh guy with some upside.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, that doesn't necessarily mean he's a starter. Like,
no,
it just,
but
right.
He's a guy that you can be in, like, in your rotation longer term. And maybe with sort of the way things move around, you have the right guys where it does make sense to start him. But this, like, there's this like small section of people, and maybe they're right and I'm wrong and I will happily eat crow, but like, games last night you watch and they're like, yeah, see, that's why he could be Luka. Like, see, like, and it's the Spider-Man meme between he and Luka. It's just like, we have to give up on that. I get that they're both from America, but
let's not even mention that, honestly.
Yeah, it's bad.
I get that, like, the comp is Luka, right? Like, with any of these guys, like with Giddy, with whoever's coming in, with Cade a little bit, people were like, it's Luka-esque because he's 6'7" and he can create for others. Like, this guy walked into the NBA and is 23 years old and people are already saying, like, where is he going to end up all time? Like, and they mean that. It's a serious
question. Instant Hall of Fame career. Like,
right.
Just instant.
So I think, like,
it's not fair to Denny at a certain point, right? I mean, like,
that's for certain. Yeah.
But I don't know why that can't be okay. Like, he's a good role player for right now with enough upside that if a couple things work out in his favor, he could be more.
I also just like that he's not a one-dimensional player. That's obviously coming from a Mavs fan where a lot of our role players are very one-dimensional.
That was going to be my next question for you, is like, who's the guy with like untapped upside or potential on this like Mavericks team? Is there one? Josh Green, maybe?
It is. I think it is. It has to be Josh Green. I mean, you're not right. There's not very many choices. Yeah. It's Hardy, and he's the guy's a bucket. Like he can score. He can already score it at an NBA level. And if we gave him high minutes, I think he'd be averaging, between 15 and 20 this year, if we really wanted him to.
Yeah.
And I think his work with Sham God, who's our, one of our assistant coaches,
former Wizard.
Player development guy. And I think that's helped him a lot with his handle. When I went and saw him play in Vegas, he was like, he can score, he can shoot off the bounce, he can get to the cup. But he was loose with the ball. He was not used to NBA bodies like hacking at him, stepping in front of him. And I think I've already seen a progression. And clearly I that's why I bring up Sham God, because I think some of that work and a lot of that work is credit to him. But I like Hardy a lot. I think he's actually got pretty good size. So defensively to be paired on, or sorry, to be guarding other guards. When
he's like a sturdy dude, even as like
he's
a young
pretty
guy.
Wide. Yeah. Like, yeah. That. He's a good 6'5", I think, maybe 6'4". And then it's Green. What he does paired with Luka, it's such a great compliment because he forces Luka to push the pace. Running up and down the court is not something that the Mavericks do a lot. And I actually like Tim for that reason, because Tim likes, he's a gunner, right? He gets up and down the court, and he, when he gets the ball, he fires away, of course.
He's not shy about it.
But Green, I mean, we've been lacking some guys that can create some rim pressure from a slashing standpoint, and he does that. And if he continues to develop the shot, like, I think it's certainly better, right? And I think his statistically, people would say like, oh, he's one of the best pure shooters in the NBA right now. And it's like, okay, I need to see him like shooting and hitting with guys like on hard contests. I need to see the pump, the sidestep three. I need to see additions to that. But we're heading in the right direction, and I think Kidd has some trust in him, which has really like motivated him to step up. And he's also he's like a fan player too, because he makes good plays, plays above the rim. We love that. It's great to see it pumps people up.
You need a few of those guys as a fan of a team that doesn't have like, I don't know, where half the players on the team might not be able to dunk. Like I actually welcome a wing that could just like throw down on somebody if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a lost skill to a certain extent, because a lot of guys, like, kids aren't growing up like they used to. And in the early 2000s, like, Vince Carter was one of my favorite players. And I was like, I would love nothing more to dunk on someone. I'm like going to drop the dunk rim over down them. To seven. Yeah. To drop the rim down to 7 foot when I'm playing with my buddies so that we can all dunk. Like, and now it's Steph, right? Now it's, I want to create for myself. Now it's like guys being like, I want to be Jalen Green. Right.
Yeah. And it's 7 foot, I don't know why. Seven feet tall guys that are trying to do that now too. It's like,
yeah. And only one of them can. Yeah. Josh Fisher, who you know, well, he's trying to, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Basically, he was like, I don't know why people aren't considering Brandon Miller as a potential number one overall pick. Like, not saying that he should be, but, and I was like, dude, we can't do this. We cannot. Like, Wembanyama's 7'3" and he can do everything that Brandon Miller can do.
Okay. So I have a whole rant on this. This is like my Matt Moderno team building philosophy, that like, when you build a team, there's like a three-legged stool of things you should look for. Production is one. Like, can a guy be productive, like at a high scale? Two, the value of that position. And then three, the availability of people that are at that position. So like,
okay,
going big money for a center that's somewhat limited, he's matchup dependent. Like, for example, this came up with the like Kristaps Porzingis, DeAndre Ayton kind of guys in mind. Yeah. You give $30 million to a guy who could get played off the floor in a playoff series. Like, meh, when you could have a combination of guys like a Robert Williams and somebody else, or a Maxi Kleba and somebody else, like, for, you know, that each make half that money. And then you have guys that are sort of more matchup flexible and things like that. So
yeah, I'll take the latter every single time if I'm a GM.
Yeah. And then like last year in the playoffs,
Rudy Gobert is enough of a case study for me that I know what that looks like.
Yeah. The Max is cool, and he's a floor raiser. All those guys are floor raisers, but they limit you from like the deepest rounds of playoff contention, I think. And then you get into like the final four teams that were left in the playoffs last year, the Mavs being one. Kleba was the biggest guy playing more than 20 minutes a game in the playoffs. So like, is it valuable to tie up $30+ million in a guy that you probably don't play down the stretch, unless they're like, Embiid can do it, Jokic can do it, but they're like a top 10 guy.
Giannis, so right. They're different though. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, that's, if you're an MVP candidate, like, we'll make the exception for you. And the team's built around you to maximize that skill set. So if Wembanyama can be that, cool. But otherwise, like, the hardest player to get through trade or free agency is a big wing that can create for others, defend multiple positions, and shoot. Somebody that's got guard skills, but has enough forward size that they could play up if they needed to. So for me, Brandon Miller, like, that's probably the most positionally important and hardest to find like archetype in the NBA right now. So if he's 6'9", you think he can do a little bit of like, if he could be Kuzma, but with like a wet jump shot, like
that's he's shooting like 45% from three right now.
He's
so very impressive.
So to me, like, it's, and like the finishing at the rim was a question for him. And over the last like half of their season, he's been finishing like 65% around the rim. So it's like, he's already figured that out. He's going to get stronger. He's going to bulk up. The handle's going to tighten. I think you could at the very least make a strong case for why he should be the number two pick.
Yeah, right. I was saying, look, like, if you want to talk, the real conversation is, would you take him ahead of Scoot right now? But I also, I brought up to Josh, like, if you're talking about Wembanyama, who's projected as a generational talent, mm-hmm. right? Scoot, who I think if you asked a lot of people, they'd probably say the same about him.
Yeah.
When it comes down to the best 15 players in the NBA, all of them can create their own shot mm-hmm. at an elite level.
Yeah.
And I was, and create for others by putting so much pressure on a defense.
Right.
And I was like, look at Jason Tatum and what has elevated his game and what will bring him to being a top five player in that discussion every single season. And it is creating opportunities for other players on his team.
He didn't pass for the first 2 or 3 years. And like now all of a sudden he's good at it. Like,
right. And that was limiting where we would put him when we would make our top 25 list.
Yeah.
And I brought that up to him to say, like, I just don't know if Brandon Miller has enough and can do enough with the ball in his hands. Right. He's a great like spot up shooter, but off the bounce, like he has certainly silenced a few of the critics, but I need to see more, and I need to see it on NBA defenders who are the same size as him or a little bit smaller, but broader.
And that's the piece too. Like high school, Brandon Miller was like a point forward. Like he did that kind of stuff, but it's also, he's playing against like a 6'5" white kid from Iowa. Like it's very different when you've got actually Jason Tatum guarding you all of a sudden.
But
at least that's like a valuable enough position where like, I think I could trade for a good dynamic point guard with a certain amount of assets and fill that position with like a fringe all-star level player for a lot less assets than it would take me to get a wing that could do those things. So
Trey Jones is a good point guard.
Yeah.
Right.
He's at least serviceable enough. You know what I mean? Like to get you by. So that's like my team building philosophy is if you're like 50-50 on a guy and one of them's a wing and one of them isn't, I would take the wing every time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing where I'm like, why'd they give up Rui for so little? Right. Like,
yeah. All we could say was like, maybe they're going to flip the second round picks for some other like impending deal. But now you've got reports that the Bucks are, looking for a replacement for Bobby Portis because he just tore, I think, his MCL. Mm. Like Rui would be the perfect Bobby Portis replacement for them. And now they're desperate. And there aren't many guys like that that are available. Like I got to imagine you could have pulled more than 3 second round picks out of Milwaukee. It's title or bust for them too. And I don't know. So that's why I can't really understand the timing unless there's some other thing that required them to have the pieces on standby to do it.
Do you expect a move, another move before the deadline?
I think it would be an embarrassing failure for them as a front office if this is how like the deadline goes by them and they don't do anything else. And then they have to buy like Will Barton out after the deadline. Like there are teams that are reportedly interested, including Milwaukee. You know, maybe you can get a second out of Will Barton, out of them for Will Barton or something.
Fun fact about Barton that I learned today is that he is a top 10 Nuggets scorer of all time.
Which is a wild list, I'm sure, to be on. Like that's just wild to think about. But you're there that long and you average.
I mean, I don't know what the gap is between him and Alex English.
Sure.
Alex English is number one, and I'm sure it's
probably double.
It's a wide gap.
Yeah. I would think double would be my guess. And I'm gonna look that up.
It might be triple. It might be triple.
Right. Yeah. That's wild to think about. All right. Before we get out of here.
Who do you have? Oh yeah. Go ahead.
No. Well, I was just gonna say we gotta talk a little bit about the beef afterwards, but finish your thought.
Oh, no. Let's talk about the beef.
So,
but can I,
please,
like y'all have all the context of Spencer being a Wizard.
Sure.
Like, you know how he is. Like, this is just how Spencer is.
This is how Spencer is. 100%. Like this is what he's looking forward to. I think what happened was he came in here and he wanted to like force leadership on other people that were like, nah, bro. And it was the Kyrie going into Boston. Like, this is how we win. And all those other guys were like, no, we won without you. We're good. You've got KCP and Kuzma in the locker room. They're like, nah, we're good. We just won a ring with LeBron. There's nothing you can teach us. So it's clear those two had beef. And, Dinwiddie lost out at the end of the day on like who was going to be the guy in the locker room, I think. And it's clear like Kuzma is our guy in that locker room. So I actually love this. I miss this about old school NBA when like guys had real beef. So I wish they played each other more every year.
I mean, it's funny because like I get Spencer's perspective when he's talking about, because sure, like could this Mavericks team make the Western Conference again? Like they probably won't, but I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm surprised because they've
with Luka, you could do anything,
right? And Exactly. Well, except I don't think we can win a title, but we need something else.
You need a little help. Yeah.
Point to the last, 23 years when a championship was won by a team that had only one all-star on it. Sure. Right. Like, very difficult to do. Impossible, actually.
I mean, that Mavs team was kind of close, right? Like,
yeah, but you're talking about like Jason Kidd, who's an all-time point guard. Yeah. You're talking about Sean Marion, who was an all-star, right? Like, they had enough pieces. Mm-hmm. When you talk about like just true personnel on that roster. No, but he's wrong in the sense that like when those NBA players, like when they lace it up and they go out there, they want to win every game. Like, anyone who's played pickup basketball, it's like, oh, I haven't touched a court in a year. Right. Yeah, you want to make a couple of buckets, but you also want to win. Like, anytime you play, you want to win.
It's not their pickup game. Like, these guys are in there to like.
Right. There's levels of it. Of course, like Michael probably wanted to win more than anyone else. Like, if you could quantify it, his would be over 100%. And maybe like Kuzma's is 97 one day and it's 92 another day. And maybe Luka's is 100 every single night because he thinks he can win a title. But it's not like they don't want to win the game.
It's just funny, like, who it's coming from. Like, just don't talk about winning basketball, like, when you're not really moving the needle that much. And you gave up the two worst defensive plays of the game down the stretch. Like, it's pot meat kettle. Like, I mean, who's trying to make a contract here? Like, Kuzma that's hitting the game winners or Dinwiddie that's giving up them?
Also, it's like, we have to be 20 points better on defense. Yes, play defense.
Uh-huh,
like,
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Just play a little, like, we could pull out the net ratings when you're out on the court and all of our lineups, and like our net D rating goes down when you're out there. So like, if you could lock up a little bit better, just a little bit.
Like, it's the ultimate like effort thing and evaluation of effort. So the guy that's getting cooked defensively probably shouldn't go out and say like, they're only playing to get their next contract.
It's like
they're
Eli Apple syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Cancun on three, baby. I love it.
Yeah, that did make me laugh when you posted that. You're a Ravens guy, right?
Yeah, which who knows how that's going to play out. All my teams just have like free agency questions for forever, basically.
You want them to keep Lamar, I imagine.
I want them to keep Lamar, but $250 million, again, guaranteed for a second time for one of my teams hurts me a little bit. So I don't know what the sweet spot is, but hopefully they reach something where like, if you're the Ravens and you just give him the full amount of money that he wanted last year, a year later, after you've sacrificed a year, I think that just looks really bad and stupid for you. But
yeah.
Especially if he got hurt for another half a year, and that's the biggest reason you didn't give him the money in the first place. So I don't know.
And then your Orioles, right?
Yeah. They're respectable. Like, they're going to be respectable, I think.
Yeah. No, I take solace in the fact that like, the Rangers. Okay. So I'm Dallas across the board for anyone who's listening. So the Cowboys, there's some serious issues there. We're basically cursed. I mean, the last time they won a Super Bowl was when I was a babe. Like, I literally don't know what happened. And the Rangers, I saw them get to a couple World Series, but they didn't make it. But there's no expectation for that team. There's so much expectation with the Mavericks led Luka team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Luka led Mavericks team. And like, the expectation is that you should win a title every single year with this guy because he's one of the best players on the planet.
Or at least be in serious contention too.
Yeah. And the fan base and the ownership and the players who are playing with him, like, they all expect that. And the rest of the league expects that. Ton of pressure. And it's not going to happen this year. So, okay. So now I have to watch the rest of these games and be miserable because of that.
They don't own their first round pick either, right?
No, the Knicks have it. Unless we
the Knicks have ours too. Unless we shit the bed. So
yeah, same.
Damn Knicks.
but the Rangers, it's like I don't care. So it's like, it's nice. It's like, they could be pretty decent this year, and like, that could be kind of fun.
It's house money at that point. Like, if they're good, okay, great. I can enjoy the ride here. And
exactly,
and that's sort of where I'm at with everything too. At some point, I want to do another one of these, and I want to talk a little UT basketball if we can too. So I have questions for you on that one.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah,
that we could. I don't know. We could fill another half hour.
Are you a Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to
kind of has to, right? Yeah, I was like I said the other day, I think the top six teams, 10 teams in the conference, top six teams in the conference are ranked between 5 and no lower than 20. Mm-hmm. So if that tells you what kind of parity there is in the Big 12, it's a competitive conference. Teams are losing every night because whoever they're playing is equally as good across the court.
I think you could probably make the case that the SEC has the better NBA prospects of the group, but of the conferences, and they're probably the second best conference, I would say, overall. I'm sort of a Big Ten hater because I hate Maryland being in the Big Ten, but what can you do?
What do you think about that Walker Kessler guy? He's an SEC guy. He's doing pretty well.
I tell you what, man, I had him above like Mark Williams and some of these other bigs in sort of our pre-draft stuff. And it's just like, I didn't actually think he'd be this good, at least not for a while, but at some point guys have to figure him out, I think, a little bit. Like, maybe just don't like go haphazardly into him and expect that he's not going to swat you into the 10th row.
But it's exactly like to your team building point that you were making earlier. It's like, you don't have to get this guy doesn't have to be the first overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, right? Like, it can be a guy on a rookie contract who you
for know $2 million as opposed to 12. Like, that's huge.
And then there's Kevon Looney, and he's an enigma, and I'll never understand him. But yeah.
And like, just the Mavericks are a great example. I didn't think Dwight Powell defensively was very good last night, but you know, like, they've got a platoon of guys that are still cheaper than what Porzingis is, especially cheaper than what Porzingis and Gafford together will be, you know, next year. And it's like, Are we really that much better of a front court than what Dallas has? Like, I think so, but is it the best way to build a team?
You are. I would swap Daniel Gafford and JaVale McGee in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, for sure. The McGee
and that would just send JaVale right back to Washington. So yeah, there you go.
That'd be great. Maybe we can get him to do a podcast whenever he's out of the league. That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't, I'll never forget the dunk on his own basket. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, but then he had the other cool moments where he did the dunked two basketballs at one time during the slam dunk contest. So there's some good spots too.
Yeah, no, he's kind of a Wizards legend a little bit.
He's one of probably the more iconic Wizards of the last 20 years. And that just kind of shows you where the bar is overall, that, I don't know, he's more memorable than a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I have a lifetime goal of interviewing every Maverick from the 2011 team.
Oh, I like that.
And I'm worried about how I'm going to get Deshaun Stevenson on the mic. I'm worried.
He's like seemingly just like AWOL.
Like, I don't know how I'm going to find him. I don't know.
Last I heard, he ran like a barber shop in like Florida somewhere. That was a couple years ago, but who knows if that's still relevant. But that's also a dude I've like been desperately trying to get for this, and just nobody seems to know where he is.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to come back and chat more hoops anytime.
All right, Alex, thank you for doing this, man. For anybody who's not already checking it out, if you want to know more about the Mavericks, check out Believe in Mavs, but also the Charity Stripe. Awesome. One of my favorite overall sports podcasts. So thank you guys for keeping the good content coming.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. All right, we'll do this soon. And everybody, if you don't rate, review, subscribe to both podcasts already, make sure you do that. And we are presented by betonline.ag, and we will check you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.